Okay, today daf is Kritot daf Kaf Hei. We're going to start at the bottom. Asham Vadai Enokan, the bottom of Kaf Dalet Amud Bet. If you remember, the Mishnah lined up the Asham Taloi, the Asham Vadai, the Shor HaNiskal, and the Egla Arufa, that in all those cases, we thought something, and then something changed at some point in the process. And the question is, at what point were you in the process when you figured out that, in fact, you know, let's talk specifically about the Egla Rufa, because that's what we're going to get to. You found who the murderer was, and you no longer need the Egla Rufa. So what happens to it if it's before you did the Arifa, if it's after you did the Arifa, you broke the neck already? What do we do with it? So if you remember, let's just review. The Mishnah said, Ad shalon erfa, if you haven't yet broken its neck, you bring it right back to let it go. It's totally nothing. Misha ne'erfa, but once you already broke its neck, tikaver bimkoma, that's at the bottom of Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, you bury it in its place. Sh'al safek ba mitchila, ki prasfekah v'hachala. The whole reason it was coming anyway was because of a safek, because you didn't know who killed the person, and you actually went through the whole atonement process. You atoned for all the people. Now you found the murderer. What's the difference? You fulfilled the mitzvah exactly as you were supposed to, so as soon as the mitzvah is done, it's generally forbidden b'hana'ah. You can't get benefit from it. So now, we're going to put that aside and deal with some other machloket about Egla Arufa, and eventually we're going to get back to our Mishnah. Itmar, Egla Arufa ematai ne'eseret. From what point does it become forbidden to benefit from it? There's different stages. Let's talk about three stages. You designate the Egla to be the Egla Arufa. Then you're supposed to bring it to Nachal Itam, which means a Nachal that has a very strong stream going through. And then while you're by the nacha, then you break the neck. So three stages. So which stage is the one that it becomes forbidden b'hana'ah? So Rav Hamnuna Amar Mechayim, when it's still alive, which doesn't exactly tell us, it still could be stage one or stage two, right? But it's definitely not stage three. It's before stage three when you break the neck. Rava Amar La'achar Arifa. Rava says it's only once you break the neck. So Bishlam Ala Rava Me'ina Dit Abi Be'mase. We understand, Rava, because you really didn't do any act, just setting it aside and bringing it to the Nachal isn't really an act. Once you really did the act of breaking its neck, so that's when it becomes forbidden b'hana'ah. Ela l'Rav Hamnuna me'ematai. But according to Rav Hamnuna, what was exactly the act that you did, and at what point? Was it stage one when you designated it, stage two when you brought it to Nachal Eitan, or maybe some other stage? So Amar Rabbi Yonai, Gvul Shamati Ba v'shachachti. I remember somebody taught me this once, but I don't remember, okay? For those who learned Afiyomi and we forget things all the time because we're going through so much material, right? I learned it once, but I don't remember what it is. Benatzman Chavrai Lamemer, what's the best way to remember? Get your friends together, and together, you know, we'll figure it out. So his friends came along and they said, Yiridata l'nachal Eitan osarta, right? Somebody remembered. They say, oh yeah, that's what we learned, that when you bring it down to Nachal Eitan, that's when it becomes forbidden. Okay, so stage two. Now we're going to have Rav Hamnuna bringing a proof, some discussion. Rava, who again thinks the opposite of him, who thinks it's only al achar arifa. Rav Hamnuna said it's when it's still alive, the egla. So we're going to have a back and forth. Rav Hamnuna is going to prove his proof. Rava's going to kind of argue with him. Rav Hamnuna is going to answer, or we're going to answer for Rav Hamnuna, and then Rava's going to bring his proof. Okay, and when we get to Rava, we're going to get back to the Mishnah, because Rava's proof is going to be from our Mishnah, and that's why we got to this thing in the first place. So, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Mena Amin Ala, what's my proof for this? Ditznan, it says in the following Mishnah in Chulin. Okay, the context of this Mishnah is Otova et Beno. You're not allowed to slaughter the mother and its offspring, or an animal and its mother, in the same day. So, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Mena Amin Ala, Ditznan, it says, Hashochet parat chatat b'shor eniskal ve'egla arufa, and you shech, not only that, okay, so let's go through the cases. Hapara aduma, a shor haniskal and an egla rufa. What's unique about all three of them? Well, you're not allowed to slaughter them, and if you slaughter them, you still can't eat them because they're all forbidden b'hana'ah. You can't benefit from them. Okay, right? The para aduma is designated for the para aduma for purification purposes. The shor haniskal is supposed to be stoned. You're not allowed to benefit from it, and the egla rufa is supposed to be break its neck, and you can't benefit from it. So now, what if you slaughter those, and you slaughter their offspring in the same day? Rabbi Shimon poter v'chachamim mechayvim. Rabbi Shimon says you're not chayav from otov epino. And chachamim say you are chayav mishum otov epino. So now what does this have to do with anything? Bishlama lididi. Rav Hamnuna says this makes perfect sense according to my interpretation. Da'amina mechayim. Because I say when they're alive, they're already forbidden b'hana'ah, which means b'ha pligi Rabbi Shimon v'rabbanan. That's exactly the root of their machloket. Do Rabbi Shimon savar shchita she'ena ru'uya loshma shchita? Rabbanan amrei shchita sheina ruya shma shchita. So let's explain. If you say that you can't, that it's already forbidden when it's alive, the egg larufa, then you can't shecht it because it's forbidden b'hana'ah. Once you can't shecht it, we call that a shchita sheina ruya. Now when it says hashochet otov epino b'yom echad, right, the pasuk says you're not allowed to shecht it. What does shchita mean? Does shchita mean shchita in the general way we use shchita, which is a shchita that matirs something for eating, that allows you to eat something, or, right, and then it would exclude a shchita like an egg larufa, which is not allowed to be shechted. So, and which, why is it not allowed to be shechted? Because it's asr b'hana'ah. Now, obviously, it has to be asr b'hana'ah when it's still alive. Because if it's only asr b'hana'ah after it's dead, well then, if you shecht an animal that you designate to be an egg larufa, you should be allowed to eat it because it wasn't forbidden b'hana'ah. That's why you can shecht it, in which case you for sure be obligated al tov epino. So, the machloket is, if you have a shchita she'ina ruya, so again, all this assumes it's already forbidden b'hana'ah when it's still alive. You come along and you shecht it. That's called the shchita she'ina ruya. Are you going to be chayav on otov epino for a shchita she'ina ruya or only for a shchita ruya? That's the machlok of Rabbi Shimon Chachamim. So Rabbi Shimon says, if it's ina ruya, then it's not called shchita, in which case you're not chayav on otov epino. You're chayav on a different thing because you benefited from, right, you used this egg larufa, you shechted it, but Rabbanan amrei shchita she'ina ruya shma shchita. It's called shchita, and therefore otov epino, you're going to be chayav, even though it doesn't matir you to eat it. Still, you're going to be chayav mishum otov epino. We're still going to call that a shchita that you're chayav on. Ella, but now try the other one. Rav Nir is going to say this just certainly doesn't work out for you, Rava. I amar la harifa amai patara bishimon shchita ruuyehi. It's a real perfectly good shchita. B'chitema, now what could one say, which again we're going to reject, you could say, Sava Rabbi Shimon egla b'shchita k'shera. You could say, no, maybe, in egla arufa, if you didn't break its neck but you shechted it, you still fulfilled the mitzvah of egla arufa. Okay, in which case, this could be discussing a case where the, you know, it could be working with Rava's opinion that a shchit, that the egla only becomes forbidden b'hana'ah when you actually kill it, either break its neck or shecht it, because both of those are relevant ways of doing egla arufa, according to Rabbi Shimon, and that's a possible suggestion. And that's why he says, since it's k'shera b'shchita, you fulfill the mitzvah of egla arufa, the shchita is not called the shchita ru'uya, because it doesn't matir it for eating, and that's why you're going to be patur mishum otov epino. And then you could explain it like Rav. But you can't say that because hatanan kasher bepara pasul be'egla arufa, pasul bepara kasher be'egla arufa. What the means that you use for killing a para to allow it to be eaten is not the means that you use for an egla arufa. And what's pasul, what doesn't work for a para to allow it to be eaten, is kasher be'egla arufa. The Braita comes and now explains this Mishnah. Para b'shchita k'shera barifa psula. If you take a para and you slaughter it, it's going to be k'shera. You can eat it. But if you break the back of its neck, like you do to the egla rufa, certainly you can't eat it. And egla ba'arifa k'shera, and it's k'shera only ba'arifa, but b'shchita psula, but it's going to be forbidden b'shchita. So what do you see here? This, right, the simple reading of the Mishnah is, you certainly can't do the egla b'shchita, so therefore you can't say the Rabbi Shimon holds that way. So, ishtik, okay, he was silent. Another two was silent, right? We're still stuck with Rava. Rava was silent, he had no answer, because it really sounds like this, right, this whole thing goes against his understanding. So, lebatar dinafik, after Rav Hamnuna left the room, Amar, my time alo aminale, why didn't I say the following? Okay, right, this happens a lot, you're under pressure, the person's there, you can't think clearly, all of a sudden they leave the room, and then you realize, I could have said this, right? And you're thinking under pressure, you don't always think clearly, or maybe he just needed time to figure it out. So, what could he have said? De Rabbi Shimon Savar, egla b'shchita k'shera. Just because this Mishnah and the Braita explaining it holds that it's not kasher b'shchita, maybe Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that Mishnah. In which case, you could simply say, oh, that Mishnah doesn't match Rabbi Shimon, and I'll use Rabbi Shimon and my explanation to say that it's b'shchita, which again proves that the egla is only going to be forbidden b'hana'ah once it's slaughtered against Rav Hamnuna. So what can Rav Hamnuna argue against this? Rav Hamnuna amar lecha, again, Rav Hamnuna wasn't there to say anything. First of all, he left the room. Rav probably never told him this. And, you know, or even if he did tell him directly, we don't have Rav Hamnuna's answer. So the Gemara figures out, well, Rav Hamnuna could respond like this. Lo nishtame tana dinshmuina an egla b'shchita kshera de tamar Rabbi Shimon hi. That's if really egla b'shchita was kshera, the Tana would have mentioned it in the Mishnah. Okay, if Rabbi Shimon really held that way, then it should have mentioned it in the Mishnah, and even if not in this Mishnah, there should have been some Braita somewhere which said it, and the fact that we don't have any Braita to make this up, okay, which is interesting because sometimes we do make this up, but usually to make up that somebody held something without there being any source for it is a little bit far-fetched. So therefore, he rejects this explanation, and you know, again, Rav Hamnuna uses this as his support. Amar Rava, mina amin ala. So now Rava says, what's my proof? Our Mishnah. Miditnan, egla arufa ena kein. Right? Egla arufa is not that way. Ad shelone erfa tetzevet rebbe eder. If you figure out who the rotzeach is, the murderer, before you break the neck, it goes back, and right, like nothing happened. V'i amart mechayim, and if you say it's already forbidden when it's alive, it's forbidden b'hana'a, then amai tetzevet rebbe eder. Ha'itzer ela mechayim. It already had Isur Hana'a on it, and you shouldn't allow it to go back to the Eder. Now, one could claim that it's by mistake, right? Like we had before. You separate the Asham Talo, generally Hekdesh Yizchal, but right, we undo it. But there, and you could say it's kind of the same thing, because maybe when you separate it, if you remember, we saw that Shita, you didn't do it wholeheartedly, because you knew that maybe you'd figure out who the Rotzeach is. But they don't answer that here. But what did they say? Tanei changed the wording to read Ad Shalonir Eit Larifa. It doesn't mean Ad Shalonir Erfa. It means until it became Ra'oi for Arifa. In other words, what's that? When you go to Nachal Eitan. So again, stage one, you separate it, that's not enough. You could still put it back in the Eder. Once it gets to step two and you bring it down to Nachal Eitan, so when it said Mishan Erfa, it really means from the moment you were ready to break its neck, even though you didn't yet. It's almost like the previous sukkah where we saw Kol Ha'omed Lizarei Kizaruk Dami, since you're about to do the act, we assume it's as if the act was done, and maybe you could say it like that, in which case you could see that it would be forbidden. It wouldn't work to say, right, this is the way Rav Hamnuna would answer how he would read the source. Ema Seifa, but now look at the next part. You can't really explain the Seifa according to Rav Hamnuna, that it's forbidden while it's still alive, because it says, Misha Ne'erfa, once you break its neck, tikaber bimkoma, then it gets buried bimkoma because it's asur b'hana. But it sounds like if you haven't yet broken the neck, it doesn't get buried. It's not asur b'hana. So again, what do they say? Tnei mishenir eit larifa. Again, change mishenir fa to once it's ro'oi larifa. Im kein em asefa. If so, look at the seifa. Sha'ala safeg ba mitchila. Right, it came in the first place just for safeg. Kibras feka v'halchala. Now, if you're saying, what does this say? The reason why you leave it to bury is because the whole reason we brought this was just because of a suffix. Now that you already got atonement for the suffix, so what that you found the murderer? You did the mitzvah exactly as it was supposed to be done. Well, if you say it's talking about the ime chayim, adayin lo kipra, you haven't actually atoned sfekata, right? You haven't yet done the main mitzvah, which is breaking the neck. It's true, you've gotten it to ra'oi larifa, but you haven't actually been mechaper. And this says, only because you already got atonement, that's why we bury it. So it seems very clear from our Mishnah, Rav Hamnuna really can't explain it otherwise, that it really is forbidden b'hana'a only after you broke the neck and not when it's still alive. So what's the answer? Tanaihi, it's a machloket tana'im. Our Mishnah, and as Rava holds like our Mishnah clearly can't be read in any other way, but Rav Hamnuna holds by a different tana'itic opinion. What's that? Titania, as the Braita says, Ne'emar machshir mechaper b'pnim, v'ne'emar machshir mechaper b'chutz. Okay, before we go on, let's just explain what these terms are. Machshir, there's two types of korbanot. Some, let's try to start with the kapara, those are the easy ones. Some are coming to atone for sins, chatat, asham, right? There. Okay, b'pnim means in the Beit HaMikdash. So there's some things you do to provide atonement. There's some korbanot you bring to be machshir. What does it mean to be machshir? To allow you to come to the mikdash and bring korbanot and eat kodashim. What are those? The asham mitzora, the yoledet, the zav, the zava, all those that we call mechusarei kapara. They have to bring a korban in order to finish their process. It's also atonement, but it's really something called lahachshir. It's really allowing you to eat kodashim and come back to the mikdash. So there's cases where we're machshir u'mechaper b'fnim. Some are machshir, some are mechaper. And there's also ways where we do machshir u'mechaper b'chutz. So what's that? Kapara b'chutz is Sa'ir Lazalzel, that's atonement that we get from, right, on Yom Kippur, the scapegoat. That provides atonement for the sins of the people, and you do it outside the Mikdash. What else provides atonement? Egla Arufa. You do outside the Mikdash, you don't do it in the Mikdash. What's the machshir you do outside? In the Mitzvah process, you take the two birds, if you remember, in the beginning of the first few days, right, I forget which day it is, maybe on the third, the first day. The first day, right, he has the 7 days, and then he brings the korban on the 8th day. So the first day, he takes these two birds and takes the blood of one of them, puts them in a mixture with a bunch of things, and then dips the other bird in it and lets the bird go free. That's a machshir process. Again, it's part of the whole hachshara process to get him to be allowed to go back into the mikdash, to purify himself. So maybe you could say it's purification versus atonement. Okay, so now. So we have all these categories. Machshir b'fnim, mechaper b'fnim. Machshir b'chutz, mechaper b'chutz. Now here's the drasha. Ma machshir mechaper ha'amor b'fnim, asabo machshir k'mechaper. All the korbanot that the zav, zava, yoledet, mitzora bring have all the same criteria as the atonement ones, meaning the behemah has to be pure, right? It has to be tamima, without a blemish. You burn the imurim on the mizbeach, right? It's got all these same criteria. We learn out from one from the other. We learn that the mechaprim have the same criteria as the ones that come for atonement purposes. Since they're equated, what else can we equate? Af machshir mechaper ha'amor b'chutz, asa machshir k'mechaper. The machshir, the birds of the mitzora, are also going to be treated just like the mechaper. Now, in what way are they the same? So now what are they going to say? The Seir Lazalzel is the obvious one. Okay, the Seir Lazalzel is mechaper, is forbidden bahana'a in its lifetime. Okay, it becomes forbidden bahana'a right away. That's like a thing. Okay, everyone knows that. It's as a given. So now they're going to say that Tzipurei Mitzara are also forbidden bahana'a when they're still alive. So therefore, what do you see? Well, first of all, one of them, right? The truth is the one that gets sent away is not forbidden bahana'a, but the one that we take its blood is forbidden bahana'a, right? We remember we learned about that. You can't forbid the one that we left fly away because everyone's going to sin, right? And no one's going to know. Nobody puts a little tag on it. Oh, this is a... So it'll be a problem. So therefore, just like... Now, what's the obvious now? Well, the Seir Mishtalech and the Egla Ruf are in the same category, and it's obvious to this source that they're forbidden when they're still alive. So what do you see here? Just like they're forbidden, right? That it's forbidden when it's still alive. That's the source of Rav Hamnuna, right? That supports Rav Hamnuna. So therefore, we say it's a machloka tana'im. One tana'itic source is this, one tana'itic source is that. And that's why Rav and Rav Hamnuna also disagree. They each line up with a different tana'itic source. Okay, now we get to the famous Mishnah that we've discussed already a few times, which is Rav Elezer's unique shita. Rav Elezer, Omer Minadei V'Adam Asham Taloi B'chol Yom. Right, from the Torah, it seems like Asham Taloi is only when there's a specific sin that you don't know. Maybe you did it, maybe you didn't. Whole debate, is it one chaticha, is it two chatichot? All of a sudden, we have the shita. You don't have to be so careful about deciding when you can bring it, when you can't. You can bring it any day you want. You can bring it multiple times a day, the Mefreshim explained, even according to him. Right? You think, maybe I did something wrong. We talked about this before. Does this cause someone to be obsessive compulsive, right? Always worrying, maybe I did something wrong. On the other hand, maybe it caused people to be super careful. You don't want to bring korbanot all the time if you don't have to. So maybe it makes someone more conscious of their actions. In any case, he says you could do this ubechol et shiyirtzeh, every day, anytime you want. Okay. Hu ayanika asham chasidim, and they call this the asham of the pious people. Amru alav al baba ben buta shaya menadev asham taloi b'chol yom chutz me'achar yom kippurim yom achad. They said baba ben buta that he would be menadev and asham taloi every day except for one day a year, the day after Yom Kippur. Amar hama'on azeh, I swear in the name of the Beit HaMikdash, the place where God abodes, ilu hayu menichim li hayiti mevi, I would have really brought even on the day after Yom Kippur. Elo umrim li hamten ad shtikanes lebeit hasafek, but they said to me, wait until you actually have reason to think that you did something wrong. Okay, now there's two ways of understanding this. One is to say it's actually not every day, it's every other day. Because the Yom Kippurim is like a day you bring an Asham Taloi, because we learned, and we're going to learn at the end of this Mishnah, that they do the exact same thing. Yom Kippurim is mechaper on all the things that Asham Taloi is mechaper on. So now you would say, if you brought it today, well then, not tomorrow, but the day after tomorrow, right? Because you have to leave some time to allow sins to happen. Alternatively, one could say it's only Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur puts you in, you know, you've spent the whole day thinking about, and the whole 10 days before thinking about tshuva, then at that point you're in a different place and you're actually going to be much more conscious, right? People are more careful. It's a good, right? You could do a statistical analysis, right? Ask people, do a survey. Would you generally be better behaved the day after Yom Kippur or not, right? So theoretically, maybe he really means only the day after Yom Kippur, because people are in a whole new frame of mind, which is not the same frame of mind you get into when you just bring an Ashram Talui. Okay, so either which way, the way we understand it, he's kind of like Rabbi Lazar, but a little bit different. The Chachamim Omrim, Ein Mevi Asham Taloi, Ela Al Shez Dono Karev Shigato Chatat. They say, you can't just bring it randomly. You can't just bring it, even if you know you did a sin, like, I'll give you the example of the Gemara, is going to bring like eating a nevela, which is only a lot. I say, you can't bring an Asham Taloi on that. You can only bring it if you did it, but maybe you'd be Chayev Karev Shigatat. You're Chayev Chatat, and now you have a suffix. Did I do it or didn't I? Beshogeg, well, then you can bring an Asham Taloi. Chayavecha Taot Vashamot Vadain, Shavar Lehem Yom Kippurim, Chayavim Lahavila Har Yom Kippurim. Let's say you ate a piece of chaylev. Then it was Yom Kippur. Then after Yom Kippur, it turns out someone said, you know, yesterday, you know, 3 days ago, you ate a piece of chaylev and you're chayev and asham vadai. So you still have to bring it, even though Yom Kippur came in the middle. But chayev hashamot tluyim p'turin. If the same thing happened and someone said, you know, 3 days ago, you ate one of potential two pieces and one of them was chaylev, and I don't know which one you ate, then he doesn't have to bring an asham tluyim because Yom Kippur took care of it. Let's say he's not sure if he did something on Yom Kippur. Even if it's about to be the end of the day of Yom Kippur, he's patur shakole Yom Kippur. We saw this also all the day, the whole entire day of Yom Kippurim. Almost every minute of Yom Kippurim atones for you, and therefore you don't have to do it. Now we get back to this chatat ha'of. Okay, we always have the problem with the yoledet. Why is she bringing a chatat? Is it a sin offering? It's called a sin offering, but it's not exactly a sin offering, right? There's that famous shita that, oh, well, she sinned because she swore in childbirth, I'm never going to have another baby. But really, it's not really viewed as a sin offering. Now, if it was a sin offering, so obviously Yom Kippurim would be mechaper, but it's because it's not really a sin offering, there's a good proof that we don't really view it as a sin offering. So they're going to say, right, what's the obvious question? Does Yom Kippurim, right, here she's bringing it misafik. It's kind of like an Asham Talui. She's bringing a chatat ha'of misafik. We already said she could bring it misafik, but could Yom Kippurim, avar la Yom Kippurim, chayevet lavi lachar Yom Kippurim. You can't say Yom Kippurim took care of her safik situation. Even though in an Asham Talui it takes care of a safik, and you wouldn't have to bring an Asham Talui, if this woman had to bring it before Yom Kippur, came Yom Kippur, why is that? Mipnei shi machsheret lechob esvachim. It's a machshir, it's not a machaper. Yom Kippurim is machaper, it's not machshir. She needs a korban to allow her to eat kodshim. Yom Kippurim does not have that same power to allow her to eat kodshim. So she actually has to bring the korban. Chatat ha'of ha'baal safek. We've talked about this before. Let's say she brings it misafek and then finds out that she actually is chayav. What did we say? The chatat that she brought counts, right? But here they're talking about what if she finds out that she didn't need to bring it. So im mishinim lekaf, they already did malika, no da, she finds out that she didn't actually have to bring it, the miscarriage she had wasn't really considered a yolet, a vlad, tikaver. Since they already did the malika, we have to leave it, we have to bury it. Okay, starting with the Gemara now. My tamid Rabbi Eliezer. How does Rabbi Eliezer view this Asham Talo? Isa gadata chovahi, if you think it's a chovah, kimit yadalea my maite chatat. Once he finds out, and that's if Rabbi Eliezer, okay, the question here is there's two categories. They're going to assume there's two categories. Asham Talui has to fall into one of them. There's things that are called chatat nasham that are brought if you did something for sure, right? They're obligatory. You can't bring, we've seen this many times, a chatat nasham voluntarily. You can't say, oh, you know, I'm voluntarily bringing a chatat or a nasham. The other category is olod and shlamim, which comes sometimes as chovot. There's certain chovot of olod and shlamim you have to bring them. There's certain times where you can bring them, if you want, you can voluntarily say, I want to bring a korban shlamim, I want to bring a korban olah. So the question is, where does Asham Talui fit in? So if you say it's chovah, then it seems strange, because when you find out that you did something wrong, you actually have to bring a real chatat. So now at this point, what, you're going to say this two chovot on the person for the same sin? It seems weird. You'd be chayavin two different korbanot. Elash mamina nedavahi. It must be that Rabbi Eliezer thinks that it's voluntary. Okay? And that's why also, it's obvious he thinks it's voluntary, because he says you can voluntarily bring one, right? Not out of a sense of obligation, but out of voluntarily. V'rabanan, ola ushlamim hu da'ate b'nedru nidava, aval chatat v'asham chovanin hu. Rabbanan saying, ola ushlamim can come b'nedru nidava, but a chatat nasham or a chova. And asham taloi, hainu tama demaite mekami demityadale, they're like in a separate category. Okay? Really, what's the reason we bring it? Is all just because lahagen alav. It's to protect the person. What are we worried about? Tatorah chasa al gufan shel Yisrael. The Torah has rachmanut on people's bodies. What does that mean? Well, the assumption is if you did a sin and you don't know about it, you're going to have suffering in this world to take care of, to atone for your sin. So we'd rather not make you suffer, so we're going to allow you to bring this korban. Okay? In order, it's got some other thing going on. Okay? But it's not that it's a nedava. So Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Dilma asham taloi ke'ola ushlamim. Maybe even Rabbi Lezer could say that it's like an ola and shlamim. One second, is this for Rabbi Lezer? Is this for Chachamim? Okay, let me explain better one thing. What Chachamim were really saying is that asham taloi is coming for a very specific reason, so it can't be in the ola ushlamim category. So now, so Rav Acha b'rei de Rava says to Rav Ashi, maybe asham taloi is ke ola ushlamim. As you assumed, it's not like ola and shlamim because of this, because Torah chas al gufan shel Yisrael, and it comes for a very specific purpose. But maybe you could say, ma ola ushlamim da'atu b'chova va'atu b'nedava, asham taloi nami da'ate b'chova ate nami b'nedava. Why can't you say that maybe it's like ola and shlamim that do have, yes, it's obligatory, but just because it's obligatory doesn't mean it can't also be voluntary. That's right. If you had to distinguish between Asha and Chatar on one end and Ola and Shlamim on the other, Asha and Chatar are only obligatory. Ola and Shlamim are sometimes this way, sometimes that way. Maybe Asha and Talay fits in there, and then you really could bring it if you wanted, whenever you want. So, Amar Le, so why don't they allow this? So he says, what's the difference? According to Chachamim, Ola Shlamim, Ikar B'Nedava K'tiveh. Look at the context. The context of the Torah, when it brings them up, is in the context of if you want to bring a korban, and you know, you so desire, you want to bring a neder, a nedava. That's where it talks about olin shlamim, but asham taloi ikar b'chov k'tiv. If you look at the context there, asham mi'ilo, remember, comes right before. We had that whole thing about the vav mosif el yon tachton. So if the context there are all chovot. It doesn't come up in the context of voluntary offerings. And therefore, it seems pretty clear you only bring it in a chova type of way, in an obligatory manner. And that's proving chachamim versus Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, that's their approach. So basically, we have Rabbi Lezer who thinks it's both chova and nedava, and we have Chachamim who say, no, it's only chova, and their proof is, look at the context. Tanei Rabbi Chia kamei de Rava. Okay, this is very strange. Rabbi Chia didn't live in the same time as Rava, so we couldn't have brought a braita in front of Rava. It must be Rabbi Chia bar Avin, who's in Amora, who lived in the time of Rava. So change that to Rabbi Chia bar Avin. He came in front of Rava, and he said, Asham taloi ba'al hanevela. Asham taloi comes for nevela. Okay, now that's a problem, according to Chachamim, because what did we say? It's only, remember I gave that as the example, a nevela is only a lav, there's no karet. So Amar Le, so Rava says to Rabbi Chia, to Rav Chia Bravin, v'han antinam, but didn't we say in the Mishnah, chachamim or mimi no mi v'yasham taloi, ela al devar chesdono karet v'shigach to chatat. V'i Rabbi Lezer, and if you want to say this is Rabbi Lezer, b'nedavinami ate. He doesn't even need to say asham taloi ba'ala nevela. According to him, you can bring an asham taloi anytime you want. So Chia answers, Amar Le, my time alo matni, why didn't you teach it in the following way? Zimnin segi and tanite keme mar, umanu rabba. In other words, lots of times I taught this in front of Rabba, va'amar li, and he explained to me that who does this braita go according to? Hamane, Rabbi Lezer, hi da amrulo. Okay, this doesn't mean Rabbi Lezer. This is the shita Baba Ben Buta that was based on Rabbi Lezer, and it was adapted based on the Amrulo, based on what people said to him, okay? So basically this means, according to Baba Ben Buta Shita, okay? Much simpler language, I don't know why the Gemara complicated it, but it goes according to Baba Ben Buta, who said, you have to have something, right? You need some sort of suffix. So nevela would be enough to say, you're chayav and asham taloi, ditnan, okay? And here they quote it. Elo umrim lo hamten ad shtikanes lebet ha-safek. You need some sort of suffix, and nevela would be enough to say, you can bring it. So Amar Rava, now Rava wants to know, my time of the Amrulo. What's the reason? What's their logic? Okay, we already said, right, Rabbi Lezer says, it's because he views this whole thing as Nedava. What's the reason of Bava Ben Buta? And then we're going to get to what's the reason of Chachamim. Amar Kra Asher Lo Te'asen of Hashem. Notice the word here. This is the wording in the Pasuk about the Asham Taloi. Lo Te'asen sounds like a Lo Te'aseh. So even on a low tase, you can bring an Hashem Talui. Amarava, Rava continues and says, "My time of the Rabbanan." So why did they say Da'amrei Emaviyim Hashem Talui El Al Davar Shes Dono Karet Shigato Chatat? Where did they learn that from? Remember, the pasuk by Hashem Talui doesn't say. It says Nefesh Ki Techta Va'asa Chamikom Tzvot Hashem Asher Lo Te'asena Ve'Lo Yadav Hashem Ve'Nasa Avono. It's very general. You do one of the mitzvah, you didn't do it, you don't know, right? Okay. So what does he say? Yalfei mitzvot, mitzvot mechat ha-chelev. We've already learned this gzera shava. Rahamim say we learn gzera shava from the chatat of chelev. Ma lahalan shes dono karet v'shigato chatat. Just like by chelev, it's what typifies chelev. Well, it's karet if you do it on b'mezin and chatat if you do it b'shogeg. Therefore, since it has the same word used there and the same word used there, we remember gzera shava, you have to have a masoret that there's a gzera shava here. Af kan davar shes dono karet v'shigato chatat. So it's only going to be, Nashem Tala is only in that case, he learns it from gzera shava. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Chamisha ashamot mechaprim, asham taloi ein mechaper. Now they're distinguishing between the chamesh ashamot, right? There's asham ilod, asham gzela, shivcha charufa, okay, and the asham mitzora, and I'm forgetting one, the fifth one. I said the shivcha charufa. There's one more. I forgot. Maybe I'll find it. What? Nazir, right. The Nazir brings. So there's five ashamot. They're all mechaprim. Asham taloi is not mechaper. Now, this sounds very strange. What do you mean? Asham Taloi is not mechaper. By the words, the words kapara gemura aren't supposed to be here. You'll see in a minute why, because in a minute they're going to explain what it means is a mechaper kapara gemura. There would be no need to explain that if it actually said it here. Maika amar, so what does this mean, this braita? Amar Rav Yosef hachi kamar. He says, this is what it means. Chamisha ashamot mechaprim kapara gemura. You get complete atonement from those five ashamot. V'asham Taloi ein mechaper kapara gemura. You don't get complete atonement. Udilo ki Rabbi Eliezer, da'amar Hashem Taloi ba'al hanevela. Okay, one way of explaining this is that it doesn't hold like, again, this isn't Rabbi Eliezer, this is Bava ben Buta, who says that you can bring an Hashem Taloi on a nevela. Why? What does it mean it's not mechaper kapara gemura? This is what we've been explaining from the beginning, that Hashem Taloi, it deals with your atonement until such time that you figure out whether you really did it. If you find out that you really did it, well, then you have to bring a korban. Now, if you say an Hashem Taloi can come on a nevela, well, what happens if you find out that really you ate a nevela? You don't bring a korban. There's no korban for nevela. It's just a lo tase. So what do you see here? The Hashem Taloi must cover you entirely for in the case of a nevela. So therefore, this source, either this is one way of explaining it, that this source doesn't go by Bava ben Buta, who says that it can even cover a nevela. Because if it covers a nevela, it covers it completely. That's one way of understanding it. Ravina Amar Hachi Katani, he understands it this way. Chamisha Shamot Ein Acher Mechaper Kaparatan Dikimit Yadale. Dikimit Yadale Maite. The five Ashamot, there's nothing else that can atone for them. And therefore, Dikimit Yadale, if you're to find out after Yom Kippur, that before Yom Kippur you did one of those things wrong, or, you know, your need to, let's say you were a Mitzora, or you stole, and in those cases, we need to bring an Asham Ila, or an Asham Gzela, Maite. You'd have to bring an Asham, right? In other words, if you did one of those five things that you're Chayav an Asham for, Yom Kippur doesn't help you. That's what it means, Mechaprim. They're Mechaprim, and nothing else atones for them. Only the Korban's Mechaper. Asham Taloi, but when it comes to Asham Taloi, what does it mean, a mechaper? It means, acher mechaper kaparato. Dilchim ityada lo maite. If you didn't realize before Yom Kippur, and then you find out after Yom Kippur, that before Yom Kippur you did something that maybe was wrong, you don't bring an Asham Taloi. So that's what it means, a mechaper, meaning you don't necessarily always have to bring it, because it could be Yom Kippur already took care of it for you. And they further prove this from, right, this way of reading it, Kedetan, as it says in our Mishnah, Chayavei chatot v'ashamot v'dayin, shavar lehem yom ha-kippurim, chayavim la'vi. Achar yom ha-kippurim, and chayavei ha-shamot tluyim p'turim. Right, that's exactly as our Mishnah said, that if yom ha-kippurim came, you'd still have to bring the chatot v'asham, but you wouldn't need to bring the asham talu. Now we're going to go into this, chayavei chatot v'ashamot v'dayin v'chulei. Katane, it says in our Mishnah, Chayavei chataot v'ashamo v'dayin, Shavar lehem yom ha-kippurim, Chayavim la'vi, la'achar yom ha-kippurim, right? You have to bring after. Chayavei ha-shamo t'lim p'turim. That's just a quote we just read. Minane mile, where do we get this from? So we're going to have two different sources, Rav Dimi and Abaye. Ki ata Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Chanina, Amar Kra. There's two different psukim that we'll see. Part of the pasuk is the same, but part of it is different. if you remember, there's two Seirim we bring on Yom Kippurim. There's the Seir that gets, we do the Goral, one gets sacrificed inside and one gets brought outside and thrown off the cliff, right? So that's the scapegoat. So when it talks about the Seir that's done Bifnim, it says, V'chiper ala Kodesh mitumot b'nei Israel. This will atone for the tumot of b'nei Israel and the Kodesh. Umi pishehem. Now what's pishehem? Pishehem means things you did b'mezid. L'chol chatatam. Okay, so psha'im and chata'im. So we're going to assume psha'im means b'mezid and chata'im means b'shogeg. So now they say, chata'im dumi ad psha'im. The things that it's mechaper when they're chata'im must be the same as psha'im because we do what we call a hekesh. These two things are juxtaposed. That means there must be something similar about them. Ma psha'im. Now if you do something b'mezid, la b'nei korban, right, you don't bring korbanot if you did something b'mezid. You only bring korbanot if you did something b'shogeg. Okay, even though there's a few exceptions, we'll get to that in a few minutes. But generally, psha'im, if you do, right, if you ate the chaylev b'mezid, you don't bring a korban, you get curried. So therefore, af chata'im, delav b'nei korban mechaper. Aval chata'im, de b'nei korban, lo mechaper. Now we're going to learn that it's not mechaper on things that you're chayav a korban for, like the asham and the chata. That's why Yom Kippur is not mechaper lehem. Amar le Abaye, what do you mean? V'ha ki k'tiv hadin kra, b'si'ir anase b'fnim hu d'ch'tiv. That was said about the Seir and Aseh Bifnim. So you could say, fine, that's not Mechaperam Pshaim de la B'nei Korban, right? De lo Mechaper ala Beiro de Mitzvah Yidua, right? They're not Mechaper on things that you know you did, okay? But, Aval Seir Mishtaleach de Mechaper ala Beiro de Mitzvah Yidua, Ema Lecha filo Achatim de B'nei Korban ninu Mechaper. Abaye says, just if you're going to learn it all from that Pasuk, but you're forgetting that there's also the Seir Mishtaleach. And the Seir Mishtaleach can be Mechaper on things you even know about. And even things that are B'nai Korban, that are mazid. And that's theoretically, maybe it is. So therefore, you can't prove it from there because that only covers one Seir. But maybe the Seir Mishalech, there was a sense, the Seir Mishalech covered more stuff. So basically he's saying, even though that might exclude things that you did B'mezid, the Seir Mishalech might cover more. So therefore, Abaye says, I'm going to bring my proof from the Seir Mishalech Pasuk, that even the Seir Mishalech isn't going to cover your Chatat and Asham. Elam Rabbi Mehacha. When it talks about the Seir Mishtaleach, it says, V'hit vada alav et kol avonot b'nei Yisrael v'et kol pesheyem l'chol chatatam. Notice the same wording. But there it's talking about the Seir Mishtaleach. It's a few psukim later in the parak. Chata'im dumia de psha'im. Ma psha'im delav b'nei korban, af chata'im delav b'nei korban. Now he has the exact same drasha, but on the Seir Mishtaleach pasuk. It's basically, I don't take your pasuk. This is a better pasuk, because that only covers the first one. But maybe the second one, Seir Mishtaleach, which seemed to be a more all-encompassing seir, that could have covered them, but now we're going to see not. Aval chata'im de b'nei korban ninu lo mechaper, right? Chata'im that you have to bring a korban for, it's not mechaper. Ume'ate kra b'si'ir mishtaleach, and the reason why it's said in the si'ir mishtaleach, l'meimra da'al chata'im de b'nei korban ninu lo mechaper. And that was the whole reason why it said it there, that even the si'ir mishtaleach is not mechaper on things that you have to bring a korban for, and that's why if Yom HaKippurim comes and you were chayav a chatat and arsham before, you'd still have to bring them after Yom HaKippurim. So Amar le Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi now retorts back to Abaye. Mimai dehane psha'im la b'nei korban ninu. Dil mahane de b'nei korban ninu. Kiditnan. But wait, why are you assuming those psha'im don't include b'nei korban? Even though Rav Dimi himself said psha'im are not things that are b'nei korban. But now when he's trying to, that's Abaye knocked him out, so he's now trying to knock Abaye out. Maybe they're b'nei korban ninu. How do we know? De kiditnan. Arba'a mevi'in ala zadon kishkaga. If you remember, there are four cases where you bring a korban chatat on mezid. Okay, there's the nazir, there's the shifcha harufa, right? A nazir that became tameh, he brings a chatat. There's a nishbala sheker if you swore shvuat ha'edud, or if you, right, you swore that I don't know testimony, and a shvuat ha'pikadon, if you swore that you didn't have the pikadon. All those b'mezid, you still will bring a korban. So psha'im could include b'nei korban. So comes Rav Dimi and he says, I'm going to knock out your drasha based on that. Itmar Nami, it was also said, ki ata ravin am Rabbi Yossi am Rish Lakish. When Ravin came from Eretz Israel, he said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, he said in the name of Rish Lakish. V'hit vada lavet kol avon open Israel. He basically brings Abaye's pasuk. V'et kol p'sheyem l'chol chatotam. Chata'im dumi ad psha'im. Ma psha'im delab b'nei korban mechaper. Av chata'im delab b'nei korban mechaper. Aval chata'im de b'nei korban lo mechaper. He says exactly as Abaye said. So now comes Abaye, when Ravin came to Bavel with this drasha that Abaye himself had said, and Rav Dimi kind of knocked him out. So what does Abaye say? Amar Abaye, Ana nami mehadin kra amre, va'akshele ravdimi, mimai dahani pshaim dela bene korbaninu, dil machanach to make korbaninu, kiditnan, arba amivim alazadon kishkaga. He basically raises the question, ravdimi raised against him, against Ravin. He was hoping, it was actually, you see this twice in the daf today. People didn't understand something, they went to other people to try to get answers, right? It's not like, oh, I can come up with all the answers myself. So they realize sometimes you need other people to help you. And amar le Ravin, Rov Pshaim Lav B'nei Korban. He says, go by the Rov. In other words, most. Okay. Amar Le, so Abaye still retorts back to him, Midi Rov Ktiv, but it doesn't say Rov. Okay, it says, right, Pshaim or not B'nei Korban. El Amar Abaye, so Abaye now changes his tone a little, and he says, Mireisha Dekra. I'm going to learn it from the beginning of that pasuk. V'itvada Alav et kol Avonot B'nei Israel. Vitanya Avonot, what are Avonot? The Brita says about this, Elu's donot, those are mazid. V'chein ho'omer avonaba. Okay, they bring another pasuk where it says, Kidvar Hashem biza v'emitzvato efer, kare tekare nefesh hi avonaba. Okay, there it's mazid. Okay? V'et kol, now, according to this, so what do we do with a kol p'sheyam l'chol chatotam? And avonot teaches you mazid. So now, the end of that pasuk, it doesn't need to teach you mazid, because it already said mazid in the beginning. So now, what's the second part coming to say? Ah, lama li lakshuye, l'psha'im. Why do we have chata'im next to psha'im? Ma psha'im delav b'nei korban, af chata'im delav b'nei korban. Now, in other words, the beginning part already taught you mezid. Now, what's the second part coming to say? Well, it's only mezid that you're not chayav korban for, and it would exclude those four cases where you're chayav a korban even for mezid. Av chata'im de b'nei korban ninu lo mechaper. And that teaches you that if you have a chet that's right in a shogeg chet that has a korban associated with it, Yom Kippur is not going to atone for it. It's only going to atone for sins that aren't b'nei korban. Okay? Chayave ashamot tluyim. Okay, now we're going back to the line, right, chayave ashamot tluyim are pturim after Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim is mechaper, so mana hanemile, where do we get this from? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Kra, mikoch chatechem, chatotechem lifnei Hashem. Now, this is the famous pasuk we say on the all the time in Yom Kippur, ki ba yom hazeh echaper alechem letaher etchem mikoch atotechem lifnei Hashem titaru. Now, why does it say lifnei Hashem? What does that teach you? You're going to be, right, wiped out from your sins before Hashem. What are they sound now saying? It's the sins that are before Hashem. What sins are before Hashem? Ones that you don't know any about. Only God knows. Chet she'em makir bo ela hamakom Yom Kippurim mechaper. Only God knows them. That's when Yom Kippurim is mechaper. Amrav Tachlifa Avua de Rav Huna Mishmei de Rava Kadmai Tanami Lo Tite Lemifshite Lomi de Rav Ami Lomi de Abaye. Okay, what does this mean? This is even the first line of the now that we have this line. What does this line teach you? Only things that are Lifnei Hashem are purify, you know, the Yom Kippurim comes. Well, now we already have an answer to Abaye and Rav Dimi. Abaye and Rav Dimi, we're trying to find some sort of answer. Pishehem, it means things that don't have korban, right? But this is obvious now. Elameha, chet she'em makir bo, ela makom Yom Kippurim mechaper. Umina, from there one can infer what? Chet she'em makir bo, ela hamakom, hu de Yom Kippurim mechaper. Aval de yadaba, lo mechaper. But if he knows about it, it's not mechaper. So there you have, you don't even need those other psukim already from this. If this is what it atones for, it's obvious what it doesn't atone for. And therefore, this is maybe a better proof, he says, than, right, learn what we were trying to learn there. It was so complicated, just learn it from here.